Welcome back to Disney Dependent. I'm Sarah Chilcott.
And I'm just some guy with a mustache, but really famous in his time. And is he doing stunts or is he acting? Woo! We're back, baby!
You couldn't wheel away because you're not in your chair.
I know, it's the worst thing ever. Like, I'm holding my... Can you see my leg? My white knee?
I can just... now that you pointed it out. I thought it was your arm.
Like,
so if it's not totally clear, I am in Oregon and they are in California.
Indeed.
And we are doing this over Zoom, so we're not in the same room, and it's weird.
It is very weird.
And we've done it before, but it's like, this is going to be how it is for a while.
I know. You know what, though? There'll be a few visits. We'll knock out a few in person. You know, we'll figure that out. You'll come here. I'll come up to Oregon. We'll figure it out. That'll be easy. We can do the lavalier mic thing. I'll just keep saying, we'll figure it out. I do want a bigger screen for the Zoom call. I think we should get like a TV size screen. That would be great.
I have one.
Because that's too small.
I'm looking at you in high def.
Oh, nice. I'm sure we can figure out how to sit on the couch and have this broadcast on the television. What do you think of that, Ash?
Sure.
Yeah.
That helps no one but us.
No. Don't want a podcast studio in my living room. Which you have it in the dining room and it's a one bedroom apartment. So it's basically in your living room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been a minute.
We've all had a lot going on.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have had much more going on than me, but things have happened.
Yeah, but you just went to Mexico.
Yeah. We went to Cancun.
You son of a bitch.
It was great. It was really good. I am obsessed with iguanas now.
Aww.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. I told Kate that I am now a lizard lady.
That, you know, that makes a lot of sense. I've always thought of you as like a lizard type lady.
Yeah. And then I got really sunburned and I'm still peeling like a lizard. So just saying.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Well, and she has Liz in her middle name. So
I do.
It was meant to be. Are iguanas nice lizards or are they violent?
Every iguana I ran into is very kind.
Really?
They didn't come anywhere near me. So I don't know.
Now, give me like an idea of how many iguanas we're talking here. Is there a lot?
So they're like, at least where I was, they're like squirrels. So like you'll see a couple of them and then they scamper away.
Right.
But they're very still for the most part. They're just sunning themselves in various locations. They're so funny.
They're like me.
There was a big thing, like a yard basically at the very front of our resort, and it was sort of not walled off but like bushed off. It had shrubs and you weren't supposed to walk on the grass, so you couldn't get near the stuff, but if you got the right situation you could see through the bushes, and there were all these rocks and like little bushes all over, and at first glance there's nothing happening, and then you realize, holy shit, there's like 40 iguanas and they're just perfectly still. They look like a rock. Yeah,
that's great.
But then, you know, there's occasionally one running across the street. So they're very much like squirrels in like how many there are and how many you'll see at a time. It's usually just like two, one, maybe.
Right.
There was one that was for sure living in a drainage ditch right in the parking lot. Yeah.
What'd
he was happy there, though.
Do you ever see like roadkill iguanas? If
I didn't
everywhere?
See any dead iguanas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm sure there are.
That they don't.
I'm sure there are. So this was like an all-inclusive resort thing for you guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it was.
Did you leave
really
the
nice? I have to say that I think for the first time going to a place that you're kind of unsure about, the whole all-inclusive thing was really great because you don't have to think about anything. So all the food, all the alcohol, desserts, snacks, everything, room service, it's all included. The only thing is that's very limited options. Like they have a lot of food, but it's like, you know, this restaurant's only open for breakfast and this one's only open for dinner and you have to get reservations for it. And all of the restaurants that you had to get a reservation for sucked. Like they were the worst food we had the whole week was these like quote unquote fancy restaurants. So I definitely, the buffet was the best. I mean, you could go in at 9 a.m. and have pancakes and French toast and scrambled eggs and mole chicken.
Oh.
If you so desire.
I do. I do desire that.
Josh was eating so much of that stuff in the morning. And I'm like over here just eating French toast and pastries and just, you know, my typical.
Like an American. Yeah.
And there was one night he was like, I don't feel good. I think tomorrow I need to just take it easy and just eat like toast and scrambled eggs like you've been doing. And I was like, yeah. We get to the buffet. He goes hard. He gets like mussels and giant shrimp in soup.
Jeez.
And I'm like, that's not
for breakfast?
Taking it easy, man.
Now, when you say breakfast, are you guys hungover? You stayed out late and you're getting up at noon?
No.
Or is this like normal time
we
breakfast?
Were, I mean, because it's 3 hours ahead. So if we got up at noon, it would be 3 p.m. here.
Right.
So it
you
was
can sleep until
really
nine.
Easy to just kind of get there and start our day. I mean, we were up. I think the latest we got up was like 8:30.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's too early for a vacation, if you ask me.
But it felt like 11:30.
Right.
Right. No, it wasn't early. It was sleeping in for sure.
Now, let me ask you something, Sarah. Would you say that Cancun is a better trip than Hawaii?
No. I want to go back to Hawaii for sure before I would go back to Cancun. However, the island, the Isla de Mujeres, is right off the coast. It's a 20-minute ferry ride. And that I would go back to in a heartbeat. But I'd want to just do like an Airbnb. I don't need a hotel. I don't need any kind of like all-inclusive resort. I just want to go and spend a week on that island doing nothing but riding golf carts around and tormenting iguanas. That's all I want.
That does sound nice.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say riding dolphins, and I was upset.
No. I have no interest in swimming with wildlife. I don't really want to swim with anything that's not just a human.
Yeah, no, me neither.
That's no.
Like swimming with dolphins experience. Keep it. Don't want it.
I have no interest. Although, I will say, if I had the opportunity to get real close to a manatee, I'd probably take it because they're so boopable.
They're very cute. They're very boopable. They remind me of our cat, Benny. Just a big, tubby type of guy.
Big, fat face.
Floating slug.
Big, sluggy fella.
I heard somewhere that manatees like hold their farts to stay above water. And then when they fart, they sink. Something like that.
I think that's what
I don't know if that's true or if I just imagined it. Huh. Now I don't know if that's a real memory. I think I just made something up.
It's true now.
Did I dream that?
It seems like a thing. That seems right. You hold in your fart, you're going to be more buoyant.
Of course.
Yeah. I can't float for shit, by the way.
Really?
I've had so many... All of you... I don't want to hear it, Sarah, because I've seen you swim.
You need boobs.
Well, you guys lay on your back, and you go, just lay on your back. And I do that, and I'm like, ah! And I start flailing, and I sink. I'm not coordinated enough for that.
You
business.
Should take swim lessons with kids.
Oh my God.
Hashtag content.
Hi, my name is James. I'm 40.
I don't have kids of my own.
I don't have any children of my own. I just thought it would make sense if I learned to swim with your children.
Just to get the basics.
Just to get the basics. Well, we're a little out of practice, and the audience is probably wondering when this is coming. Ah!
Oh! Whoa! Out of practice, my ass. I'll never be out of practice. Hey, this just in. It's 44 and cloudy at Not Disneyland.
And it's 64 degrees and sunny. Well, partly cloudy is what it says, but it's really sunny. Partly cloudy here is very different, I've noticed. If there's like a wisp of a cloud, they call it partly cloudy.
Yeah.
It's sunny.
At Disneyland adjacent.
Yes. At
Disneyland adjacent.
Disneyland adjacent. That's right.
Yes. The annex.
Yes.
All right. We have a smorgasbord episode because we're all out of practice and loosey-goosey. But first, brief shout out to our friend Anne McMullen.
Yes.
Sending her big hugs and wishing her peace. She knows why.
Hmm.
She's a good friend of ours. Yeah. So big love to her.
Yeah.
Hang in there. Big love. We're thinking of you.
Yeah. She's great. really great. I enjoy talking to her on Instagram and stuff. She's awesome.
Take care of yourself, Anne.
One of the good ones.
Well, who wants to go first? I have nothing Disney related, and James also doesn't. So maybe Sarah can kick us off.
Sure, I'll kick us off. I got some weird shit.
All right. I like weird shit.
So I have three stories. I'll decide as I go if I'm going to read all of them. But from a guy who has a page called Ear to Their Travel, which I've seen a million times, but I've never really delved into it before. He's great, and I haven't really like looked into what exactly he does, but obviously has to do with ear, as in Mickey, and travel. So you know,
I get it. It's clever.
I found him through our dad's Facebook page, the Disneyland former alumni and fans. I know I'm not saying that right, but
former cast members and fans, or something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, his name is Phil Gramlich from Ear to Their Travel, and he posts these stories to Dad's page all the time, and I started reading them, and they're fantastic. So I'm just going to start with one in no particular order here. It was the spring of 1922, and times were tough for young entrepreneur Walt Disney. His first business venture with his pal Ub Iwerks, Iwerks Disney commercial artists, had gone out of business in just a couple of months. His new business, Laugh-O-Gram Films, unbeknownst to Walt, was about to go bankrupt. Walt had moved out of his rented room and was now living at his Laugh-O-Gram studio, located on the second floor of a building above a Greek restaurant. Wild.
Wild.
The two owners of the restaurant downstairs, Louis and Jerry, allowed Walt to dine on credit. Once his bill had reached $60, Jerry came to see him. Walter, believe me, I'd give you unlimited credit, but my partner says fun's fun, but we've got to cut you off. Walt understood. That day, Walt walked past the photography studio that was on the second floor of the building above the Greek restaurant, next to Laugh-O-Gram. He noticed some bread in a basket and a can of beans, both left over from a photo shoot. He asked the photographer who was packing up for the day if he could have them. The photographer told poor Walt to help himself.
You gonna eat them beans?
You gonna eat them beans?
Bread and a can of beans from a photo shoot. A couple of days later, Jerry stopped by again to see how Walt was doing and found Walt still munching on the same can of beans and bread from a couple of days before.
What?
Walter, I don't care what Louis says. You come to our place and get something to eat. Years later, when Walt had found success with Mickey Mouse, he was in his Hyperion Avenue studio one day when in walked Jerry, the restaurant owner from Kansas City. He told Walt that he was opening a restaurant in Phoenix, but he needed $1,000 to get it off the ground. Walt wrote him a check right on the spot. Jerry left the studio, and Walt didn't hear from him for months. Then, on another out-of-the-blue day, a telegram from Jerry arrived for Walt. Jerry explained that he now needed to have air conditioning installed in his restaurant and asked for an additional loan of $500. Walt sent him a check. A few months later, Jerry wrote to Walt again, telling him he was having problems with his partner and needed Walt's help buying him out. This time, Walt wrote to him and told him he was sorry, but he'd need to learn to get along with his partner. In Walt's mind, he had paid Jerry back the $60 he owed him to the tune of $1,500.
Yeah.
Diane Disney Miller tells this story in her book, The Story of Walt Disney, which you can still find in sections under the Saturday Evening Post online, as it was originally run, or you can find it on Kindle audiobook. Diane said that when her dad was telling her the story about the can of beans and bread, she asked him if that was the lowest point in his whole life. Walt, with his trademark honesty, said, "No, it wasn't bad. I love beans." That totally reminds me of Kate when she was really little. We were like having dinner and she wasn't eating. And I think it was actually Lauren, who was, you know, probably 9 years old, said something to her like, you know, "Kate, you should appreciate what you have because some kids only get to eat rice."
Ah. And
Kate goes, "I love rice."
That's what I would have said.
Totally turn it around. Now she's jealous of the kids who only get rice.
Right.
That's me. I'm a little rice junkie.
You're a rice boy?
I'm a rice boy. I've always been a little rice boy. Well, that's a crazy story, Sarah. You know what I like about those stories, though? It shows, you know, like, when you think of Walt Disney, at least I do, I think of him in his most successful time. You know what I mean? A multimillionaire, famous, very successful entrepreneur. But the truth is, he started out very poor.
Oh, yeah. He started out like crazy.
Yeah. Like, just fucking beans and toast meant everything to this guy. As it meant to me. I love beans.
I so relate to that.
Yeah. Well, that's a good story. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
And it had something to do with Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You going to share some more?
If you want me to.
Yeah.
I have two other stories that are similar length.
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. This is a funny one. It was a little hard for me to track when I read it at first, but I think it'll make more sense. Anyway, Walt Disney was not the type of person who gave direct praise. As I've mentioned in a bunch of the stories about him that I've told, he also did not like to give direct criticism. More often than not, if he didn't like something that an employee came up with, he would say something like, "What if we did it this way instead?" That way he could point the employee in a new direction without being completely critical of his or her work. Walt approached Disney legend Herb Ryman at the Disney studio in the early 1950s and asked Herb if he'd be interested in painting a portrait of his daughter Sharon for her 16th birthday.
By the
way, Herb had to think about it. What
by the way,
the Disney family didn't like it. He asked Walt why didn't he ask a better, more qualified, more famous artist to handle the portrait. Norman Rockwell himself had done charcoal drawings of Walt's daughters that Walt had hanging in his office at the time. Walt told Herb that he really, really wanted Herb to handle it. And Herb finally relented and agreed. Herb would come to the Disney home for dinner on the weekends where Sharon would pose for the portrait in the backyard. The painting took several sittings, and finally it was time for him to present the portrait for Walt to review. As luck would have it, according to the late Disney historian Jim Corcus, this was the same day that Walt's wife Lillian had fluffy, new, fancy plush carpeting installed in the home. When Herb walked into the room where the painting was to talk about it with Walt, he found his boss standing with his arm outstretched, presenting something to him. He said, "Do you know what this is?" In Walt's hand was a small red object about the size and shape of a bean. Herb said he had no idea what it was. Inside, there are 49 ivory elephants. A very important Chinese gentleman gave them to me after the premiere show of Snow White. See, 7 is a lucky number. So 49 elephants is 7 times as lucky.
What?
Okay, so going back, because like I said, I was having a hard time tracking this. Herb walks into his living, into Walt's living room. Walt's standing there with something about the size of a bean, which is funny. I love beans. And he tells him that inside this bean, there are 49 ivory elephants. Okay?
Okay.
Cool. Why are you telling me this?
What
Walt explained to Herb that they were about the size of a grain of salt and they could not be seen with the naked eye. He yelled for his daughter Sharon to bring a magnifying glass and a needle. Once Sharon had brought both to her dad, Walt instructed Herb to hold out his hand, opened the bean, and carefully spread the 49 extremely tiny elephants across Herb's palm. He then held the magnifying glass over Herb's hand and, using the needle, carefully counted all 49 miniature pachyderms.
What?
Tiny trunks and all. When Walt had finished counting, he explained to Herb, or as Walt called him, Herbie, that losing just one of those elephants would equal a lifetime of bad luck. Now, Walt talked with his hands a lot, and just as he finished that statement about the bad luck, his hand hit Herb on the elbow, and the 49 ivory elephants flew into the air before disappearing all at once into Lillian's brand new plush white carpet.
What?
"Look at what you did, Herbie. Now we'll have nothing but bad luck." Herb didn't go for it. "What I did? You hit my arm, Walt." Lillian quickly agreed with Herb, saying that she too saw Walt give Herb's elbow a little shove. Walt ignored their statements, and he, Sharon, Lillian, and Herb got down on all fours to recover as many elephants from the carpet as they could. They only got to 37 before finally giving up, with 12 ivory elephants lost in that carpet forever. Herb Ryman left the Disney home that day without ever talking to Walt about the portrait he had painted of Sharon. Now, did Walt, in order to avoid having to tell Herb what he really thought of the painting, intentionally hit Herb's arm so he could make a big scene about the elephants? Maybe. According to the late Disney historian Jim Corcus, Diane had said that her dad did not like the portrait of Sharon, but he never did say why.
That is an incredible story. Also, that could easily be a story in like a Steven Spielberg movie where it's like the stereotypical Asian works at like the magic shop, and the kid comes in and he's got a bean and he tells this whole long story about it. It's got 49 little... That is a wild story.
Yeah, it's very like flea circus. Like, you can check out the fleas. Fuck? They're on the trampoline. And it's like, there's nothing there.
Yeah,
the size
exactly.
of a grain of salt. Can you imagine? That's so what? Cute, though. Now I want those.
What an absolute psychopath.
But what a weird story. And what a weird guy.
Yeah, avoidance much?
Jeez Louise. Also, second point here. The guy's name. Is Herb.
Is that what you were trying to say a long
time ago?
That's
what I was trying to say.
He just wanted to share that Herb was his name and he
I wanted
didn't like
to
it.
Interrupt you, but you couldn't hear because Zoom is awful. But I was trying to say
Herb.
Herb.
Oh, and I kept
the
trying to say
name
Herb.
The guy's name is Herb. Well, that's fair, Sarah, because it's spelled Herb. That's a ridiculous name for someone's goddamn name.
Also, it's ridiculous that we pronounce it Herb.
It is. But not as ridiculous as naming someone Herb.
Herbert.
Also a terrible name. That's not defending. That's not making it any better. Herbert.
You're alienating all our Herb listeners.
We have so many.
There are dozens of us.
Excuse me, we're out of the Bort license plate.
Well, that was a really good story, Sarah.
Why, thank you. I didn't write it.
Because this is Smorgasbord, right? How does that song go?
The fair is a
veritable smorgasbord, smorgasbord.
That's it.
After the lights go out.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm surprised no one had done that till now.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah. Yeah, Sarah, you weren't on the last episode that Ash and I did alone.
No.
But I think I sent it to you in a text.
Yes.
One of my weird sports I'm
yes,
into.
Yes, you did.
So a refresher for you and the audience, and maybe you didn't hear the last episode, I got really into watching this. Well, I found an Instagram account and it led me down the rabbit hole as one does for yours truly. It was like the Russian Jumping Federation, something like that.
Sounds right.
It's like competitive gymnastic level dance routine shit on a goddamn trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a custom trampoline that they've invented for the sport. Where there's a handle, like almost like a bike handle or a scooter handle up front. And so they jump and they twirl and it's so crazy and insane and very Russian. Now, okay, so that's the last one. Now I have a new one. Okay. It is called, and this is Korean. This is a Korean thing. So
okay.
Mom, if you're listening, you'll dig this. Because for some reason she loves all things Korean. This is the indoor cycling gymnastics. It's exactly what you think it is. Now, let's watch this video together. So it's a guy just twirling around, doing gymnastics like a floor routine, but he involves his stationary bike like you would use at the gym.
He's not on it, though. He's just using
it. He's not on it. He's just doing splits, showing his butthole.
Yeah, he really did
spinning around.
Splash his butthole.
And he sort of kind of pedals and then...
Okay.
And then now he is sort of using it as a bike, kind of.
Kind of.
For like a second. I mean, what's the point of even doing any of it?
It's just a prop.
It's just a prop.
He could be using a kitchen chair.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads me to my other thing that I shared this, I think, right before we left Oregon, that I was really into silent films.
Yes.
Did I say that? Okay.
I don't know if it was on the pod or if we just talked about it, but yes.
Yeah, okay. So we at least talked about it. I think I did bring it up at some point. Well, one of the other deep dives within that realm is Buster Keaton. And the reason I say it's sort of related is because he was a lunatic for the time and he was very physical in his mm-hmm. acting and his art, I guess. You got to look up some shit from this guy. To anyone listening at home, type in like Buster Keaton compilation or something. The stuff that he pulled off. So he was born in 1895 and died in 1966. So we're talking like 1920s is when he was active mm-hmm. as an actor. And again, these were silent movies. And he did all of, he was like the first Tom Cruise. He did all of his own stunts. And I'm not talking like, uh-oh, whoopsie daisy, he tripped and rolled over. No, he would like jump off buildings and hit, you know, the little things over windows.
Awnings.
The awnings, thank you. He would like fall through those. He's the first guy to do that. He claimed to have broke every bone in his body. He would do insane shit, like jump off trains and like a car drive by and he would grab it, you know, as it was going by and like almost pull his shoulder out of his socket.
Jeez.
And then just like this trick photography thing with him doing stunts was so impressive. Not just for that time, but for any time. It was pretty cool.
You're distracting everything by doing this. The only thing I know of Buster Keaton is Benny and June.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's actually Charlie Chaplin's.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Same time period though. So Charlie Chaplin was a similar physical actor, but he didn't do stunts. He just was funny, and he created that character. I think they called him the Tramp.
Mm-hmm.
The mustache and the hat and the cane and stuff. Yeah, and so Buster Keaton, he was wild. Wild. Really fucking interesting stuff.
How many movies did he make? Do you know how, like, what his
a lot.
Period was?
Yeah, and he actually went, just like Charlie Chaplin, he went into the crossover into audio.
Into the talkies.
Into the talkies. He didn't do a lot, but he did some. And, yeah.
So anyway, that's it'd be really funny.
Also, could you imagine how crazy that would have been? Because they called them, like, you know, the moving pictures.
Because mm-hmm.
that's what they were. They were moving pictures. Because right. all you knew before was pictures. If you were lucky, you even saw a fucking photo. And then to see, like, action on screen, that must have been wild. And then to add audio, that must have just blown people's minds apart.
I bet someone had a heart attack somewhere.
What is this witchery?
It's the devil!
Yeah. What do you got, Ash? You got some cool stuff.
Oh, I have something that's totally related to Disney and family friendly.
I do too. I have another thing related to Disney, but I'll let you go first.
Oh, it's not at all. I have the complete list of lewd sounding town names in America.
Yes.
Oh, that's fun. That's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
So the map is the most lewd sounding town name in each state. Some of them I disagree with, but they're all pretty fun. So I'm going to start with Washington and work my way down and just kind of go all over the place.
I right. love this.
Okay. So Washington is Hump Tulips.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
There's Wanker's Corner, Oregon.
Unbelievable.
How have I never heard of this?
Wanker's Corner.
We have some doozies where do you in live? Oregon, but
yeah,
that
we do.
Wins.
Like the town of Mist.
Yes, the town of Boring.
Boring, Oregon. Jeez.
It is, too.
It is.
There's Rough and Ready, California.
That's just cool.
I really like Sugar Bunker, Nevada.
Oh, that sounds fun.
There's, if you're going to Idaho, you can visit Dick Shooter.
And cool. I will.
And I will.
There's Goshen Hole, Wyoming.
Goshen Hole?
Goshen Hole.
Wow.
Lubbers is in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
There's Virgin, Utah, which is just a little too on the nose.
A little too on the nose.
There's Three Way in Arizona.
It's unreal, man.
You might could head down to Kinkler, Texas.
Kinkler?
You might could.
There's Hooker, Oklahoma.
Yes, funny. There is.
That's funny.
Dry Wood, Kansas. Beaver City, Nebraska, which
That's
is
good.
Fun, but there's a lot of beaver in Oregon, so we're pretty inoculated
we
to that.
We literally lived in Beaverton.
Yes.
It's almost called Beaver Town. One letter away from Beaver Town.
With Beaver Creek running right through it.
Yeah. Sheesh.
There are Cummings and Bone Steel in North and South Dakota.
That's great.
Cummings and Bone Steel.
Very funny.
Keister, Minnesota.
Great.
Spread Eagle.
No.
Wisconsin.
No
way.
Spread Eagle.
Spread Eagle. Yep.
I mean, what? If you say like Cummings, okay, that's probably someone's last name.
Sure. Or Spread Eagle.
Spread Eagle only means one thing to anyone.
You know what goes really well with that Spread Eagle, James?
What?
Is Dick, Michigan. Right next door is Dick.
I mean, yeah, that's hilarious, obviously. But again, that could be someone's name.
Sure.
I guess
it's only funny in connection with Spread Eagle.
But Spread Eagle is literally like an eagle spreading.
Well, yeah.
With its wings.
But sure.
But no one, no one thinks of that. Jesus.
I'm pretty partial to Ball Town, Iowa.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. It's a great one.
And obviously it's in Iowa.
Yeah. Cooter, Missouri.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Wiener, Arkansas.
Always a classic.
Dry Prong, Louisiana.
Weird.
Which is just strange, and it's upsetting to think about.
Yeah,
dry prong?
Prong.
Prong, yeah.
Huh.
There's Splunge, Mississippi.
There sure is.
Hey, James, these next two are for you.
Oh, great.
Ball Play, Alabama.
I mean, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
And probably my favorite of all of them, but I'm going to say it now instead of saving until the end, is Butts, because I just like Butts.
That's
in Georgia.
Classic.
Butts,
is it
Georgia.
B-U-T-T-S?
Yep.
No way.
Yep. There's Miccosukee in Florida.
That's good. Miccosukee.
Sweet Lips, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Big Bone, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Booty, Illinois.
Really?
Floyd's Knob, Indiana.
Come on.
That's my favorite so far.
Floyd's Knob. Oh.
Sugar Tit, South Carolina.
Wait, yes. What?
Sugar Tit. Tit's a bird.
Sugar Tit is a bird?
Well, a tit is a bird.
Oh, that's also a different thing.
Climax, North Carolina.
Come on.
Short Pump, Virginia.
Jesus Christ.
Bro Hard, West Virginia.
I just feel bad for the people that live in these towns.
I don't. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Obviously, Intercourse, Pennsylvania. Right. We know about that one. It's an Amish place. Butternuts, New York. Cozy Corner, Vermont. That's not too bad. Effingham, New Hampshire. Banger, Maine. Bang.
Mm-hmm.
Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Essex, Connecticut.
Woonsocket.
Woonsocket.
It's your favorite new speed metal band.
Yes.
Yeah. Woon.
Essex, Connecticut. Ramtown, New Jersey.
What?
Swallow Hill, Delaware. Swallow Hill. Blue Ball Village.
Jesus.
In Maryland.
Jesus.
And my second favorite, PP Township in Ohio.
You would like that one.
Yeah.
Well, those are great. That's great.
I forgot to say Alaska and Hawaii just because they're not my favorite, but Alaska is Mary's Igloo, and then Hawaii is Hanaunau Napupu.
I had a Hanaunau Napupu earlier.
Yes, you did. You were texting me all about it.
Yeah. Great detail. Well, there's something I want to point out, and maybe you guys notice this. Did you notice a theme about all the states with all these silly names? They're all non-states. They're all the states that I always say, don't, like, what are we doing?
Yeah, but I also said California,
that was
New
one.
York.
There's only one silly name in California?
Rough and Ready?
There's 40 million people in this
this
state.
Is just what someone decided. State. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Oh, I forgot about Felchville.
Felchville?
Oh, Iowa's and shit.
Felchville is in Massachusetts. Yeah, Blue Ball Hill.
That's awesome.
Floyd's Knob, Spread Eagle.
Floyd's Knob, Spread Eagle.
Ball Play.
Ball Play.
All one word.
I feel like Ball Play and Blue Ball need to get together.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
They can help each other out.
A championship. Yeah, have the football game or something.
Maybe Spread Eagle and Virgin could get together.
Yep.
Sister towns.
I have one Disney-related thing.
Do it.
Okay, so this is going to be hard to explain on an audio-based thing. It was kind of last minute. Yeah, great. it's from Disney Parks. So they put out this video where a Disney Imagineer is explaining this new technology that Disney Engineering came up with, where it's a type of floor.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's go. Come on. So this is the holotile.
Holotile.
And as a matter of fact,
like a hologram.
I'm going to do a little demonstration of it.
Oh yeah, is it H-O-L-O or hollow like it's empty?
Omnidirectional floor. In any direction I want.
So it's like an omnidirectional flooring tile that basically makes it so you can like moonwalk.
Whoa.
In place.
Oh,
and so
okay.
The
it was hard to see in the video.
I know. It's not very easy to do in this format. If I can explain it, and I encourage people to go look it up. It's way easier to visualize. It's a floor that has like individual moving, I think, bearings or something that makes it so you can basically moonwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And or like walk in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so the applications could be anything from like virtual reality games where now you're in a headset in a setting and now you can actually walk through the forest, or right. you can turn
without like walking into your right. furniture.
Exactly. You're staying in the same place. Yeah, exactly. You're not hitting your mom or whatever.
I love those videos so much of people with VR sets on their heads and they're like fighting. Oh,
I would do it so
thing.
Quickly.
Break a window.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. But I was a dragon. Sorry. Yeah. And so as usual, they just create the technology and then they apply it to Disney stuff. And they were asked like, well, how would that apply to Disney parks? Because Disney parks put this out. So they're definitely winking
right,
and nodding
something.
That it could be for attractions where the person goes into this experience and we're walking in place, but it feels like we're walking through a castle or wherever we're going.
How
something
fun.
About cool. that makes me paranoid because I'm like, you're saying like you can walk in place.
Yeah.
It just gave me anxiety thinking that I'd be stuck in the middle of this thing and I can't get anywhere because I'm walking in place.
Yeah.
How do I get out of here? Yeah. I just like, start rolling and then I'm just rolling in place.
It's like those dreams where you just yes. can't get your legs moving.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Well, I'm sure they have a way to turn it off or
right.
something. But yeah, it looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the guy demonstrating was like just a sweet old guy
no.
showing how to do it. So it's like if he can figure the physicality of it out, I'm sure we can as well.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was cool. I just love that like so many of the things that we love, especially at the parks, come from just real like first class engineering.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they don't necessarily start out with a theme for a ride. Sometimes they do. But, you know, like the Omnimover, it was just a technology. It was the first time that anyone had ever done that.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have it in so many rides.
So just so you know, it is H-O-L-O, holotile, okay. holotile
oh,
floor.
Okay.
And James, the invention was created by a man whose name you're going to really love.
Mm. Ooh.
Lanny, L-A-N-N-Y, Smoot.
Lanny Smoot.
Yep.
Wow. I kind of want to slap him in the face when I hear that kind of name. But at least he invented something cool where I have not.
The smirk on your face when she said that name.
God damn it, man. Be normal. Normal names. Hi, Sarah. Hi, Ashley. Hi, James. These
I
are normal
names. I wish
my name
was something more fun, though, sometimes.
Fun is fine. Fun is fine. Like crazy Irish names.
Lenny Smoot.
Indian names get pretty outrageous. But, you know, like, what was the name we heard a kid the other day? It was a really cute kid at the...
Oh, it was like...
Botanical garden thing we went to?
Like...
Not Riley, but...
But like Ruffer...
Oh, God. I don't know. One of those names. Yeah. Anyway, what else we got?
We probably have some recommended content.
Yeah, I got some.
Okay.
Sarah, you got a few? You got
I
some?
I do.
Why don't you kick us off, dog?
My latest binge was the... 2015 to 2018, it's just a two series called Patriot, not The Patriot, it's just Patriot. It is some of the smartest humor I have seen in a long time. Very, very dark, but also
awesome.
It's so witty. It is such smart humor. Josh and I were dying. It's so good.
What's the name of it again?
Patriot.
Where did you find it?
We watched it on Prime.
Okay.
Yeah, Sherry's been recommending that to me for a long time. She says it's really good.
So it's Michael Dorman is the main character. And then Kurtwood Smith, as in the dad from That 70s Show.
Mm-hmm.
He is in it. Michael Chernus. There's a few other people that are very recognizable. Terry O'Quinn.
AKA
anyway,
John Locke.
A lot of very familiar faces. But so the story is this guy... and his dad are like CIA ops. And this guy, Michael Dornan's character, he plays John Tavner. And he's on special assignment, basically. And he has to pretend to be in a company that they don't really actually really explain very well. But he's pretending to work for this piping company
okay.
where Kurtwood Smith is the boss. And they make fun of the fact that, like, what they're doing isn't really a real thing.
Right, right.
But he doesn't know what he's doing at all. He just has to get himself in the door in this company so that he can go with them on business trips so he can do his CIA stuff there undercover. It's that sounds wild. I did not do a good job of explaining it, but it's so freaking funny. Great. The dialogue is so great. It's like it's so perfectly well done. My favorite part of the whole thing is that Kurtwood Smith's character is his name is Leslie, and they constantly refer to him as the man with the girl's name. The guy with the girl's name. The guy with the girl's name. It's just like they latch onto something and just keep drilling at it. At first, it's like, okay, you're kind of overdoing it. And then it gets to the point where it's like, it's so over the top that you can't stop laughing.
It's just funny. Yeah.
Anyway.
That's great.
Highly recommend it. I am so bummed that it got canceled before they could do another season because they totally
I hate that. Mm-hmm. I know some of my favorite shows fall into that category, but it's so worth watching.
It ends in a way that you're not like, oh my gosh, I need more because I need to know more of the story. It's more just like, I just want more of the show.
Yeah. That's how The Network was for me. Do you remember The Network?
Yeah.
It was like Aaron Sorkin's show.
Yeah.
The guy that did The West Wing and stuff. They only did one season for whatever reason. Okay, I have two things. The first is, it's an Instagram account. I think it's also on YouTube. It's called The Blue Car, like at the, it's technically at the dot blue car. And this kid, this very young, like 21-year-old kid or maybe even younger, I don't even know where he lives. I think it's somewhere in like the East Coast, New England or something. Anyway, he has a remote control car. It's a blue car that he just drives around town. And it's got a camera, like a GoPro on it. So he'll drive. He basically just uses this thing to run his errands for him. And mm-hmm. It's so, so adorable. And everyone's reaction is what's so great about this thing. So he'll drive it from his place to like the 7-Eleven. And it'll have instructions on it. Like, please pick out your favorite candy.
Aww. Or
please give me one Snickers and one this. And he's got like a little cowboy figure on the top that like moves and says yes or no. Or like, you know, that's how he like communicates. And it's very like honor system. You like just put the change here, like take my cash, put the change back in this little bowl he has on the top. It's great. It is great.
It's so tiny and cute.
Yeah, it's adorable. And people's reactions are always just like, hi, little guy.
Yeah.
Like, what can I get you? Highly recommend it. It'll just brighten your day.
His bio says, an invention of introvert.
Yes. It's so
That's
good.
Really cute.
It has a pretty strong following. I mean, his account has 210,000 followers.
Did you say you found it on Instagram?
I think so. Yeah, the blue car. Yeah, and then my more traditional recommendation is an oldie but goldie. Ash and I recently started watching Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a classic. Now, watching it again, I knew this then, but boy, do I know it now. It's a little over the top, though, right? For high school kids?
Yeah.
For 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds, they're like, I love you, and it's raining, and it's so intense. Oh, my God. And they're kids. And then the other thing is the fact that a whole town cares about the high school football team that much.
Yeah.
That, like, grown adults are arguing with one another.
Buddy Garrity.
Buddy Garrity's character.
So deeply invested in this. He has no life.
Can you imagine caring that much that the Century High School Jaguars are going to win the
I can't it's imagine caring that much about professional sports.
No, at all. You're right. That's right. I mean, like, relationships are ruined over this.
Right.
People's whole lives are invested in high school football. Like, so crazy.
But the absolute best thing about the entire series is when Coach Taylor goes, you say hello to your mother for me.
Yeah. You say like, hello to your mother for me.
Say hello to your mother for me. Or you say hello to your grandmother
stern,
for me.
He's stern, but very... He's like Walt Disney, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd marry him. Who doesn't like Coach Taylor? He's hot
delightful.
As shit. He's delightful. He's handsome. Oh.
He's tough, but...
Tough. But
loving.
Caring. You want him to be your daddy.
Scary, but approachable.
Yeah. And the fact that his way of letting you know he's in charge is to, you say hello to your mother
you
for me.
You say hello to your mother for me.
That's a hell of a line.
Point at you and
he
tell
points
you.
It aggressively.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And the music is great. It's from the band The Explosions in the Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Texas band.
Really good band.
That's right. I will say, I loved that song.
Yeah. It's an instrumental band from Texas. They're awesome.
Yeah.
I've seen them like 10 times. They used to play the Crystal Ballroom all the time. I think there's 5 or 6 members of the band. It's just a wall of sound. It's great. I love that band.
Cool.
Yeah. The premise is something that's just, it's always been something that's like, I should have zero interest in it. And I love that
show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to just kind of suspend belief, I guess. But also, you know, they pointed out in the beginning of the show, it's the middle of Texas. And Texas is a different country. And at one point, the daughter says something to Coach Taylor, who is her dad. She makes a comment about potentially moving to Seattle. And the mom's like, do they even have football in Seattle? And then he's like, they do, but it ain't the same. So they kind of let you know from like episode one that it's different here.
Right.
You know, this is a fucking religion here. So to be fair, it's different, you know.
Panther football.
Panther.
Stite.
Stite.
Stikes and stite.
Buddy Garrity only says like 5 words. Panther.
Football.
Football.
Stite.
Stite.
And stike.
In Texas.
Jason.
Football. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
check
got,
it out.
Ash?
The animal hero of the week is Jonathan the tortoise.
Oh, yeah. This
He's
guy.
I think it's the world's oldest living land animal.
Yes, he is.
He's in his 192nd year.
192 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Really?
Actually, it's his 191st birthday was celebrated on January 1st. They celebrated on the 1st because they don't know when the hell he was actually born. But he's beginning his 192nd year.
Wow.
Yeah. The world's oldest living land animal. They usually live to around 150. So he's beat that by 40 plus years now. They think he could actually be older. So it's just a conservative estimate that he's 191.
I mean, the country was brand new when he was born.
Where does he live?
He lives, I think, in the Seychelles.
Something like that.
Yeah. His unofficial hatch date was December 4th, 1832, but they celebrated on New Year's.
God.
Unbelievable.
For his birthday, they celebrated it big time. On his big day, his caretaker expects Jonathan to roam slowly, very slowly, to find fresh clover and then indulge in a late afternoon nap. His slowness is a reflection of his species rather than his vitality. He still has a zest for life. He formed a relationship with another tortoise named Fred, then thought to be Frederica more than 25 years ago, and now sometimes tries to mate with him and a tortoise named Emma. So he swings both ways.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Polyamorous.
Yeah, he's a Seychelles giant tortoise, but he's in St. Helena, a British territory located about 1,200 miles off of the coast of Africa. With the exception of Greenland sharks, which are estimated to live to at least 250 years old, that's
oh wow,
about as old as you can get on the land.
I have a list here of some of the things that have happened in a timeline since he's been alive.
Yeah, hit me.
Okay. In 1838, the first photograph of a person was taken.
Mm-hmm. So that was after he was like 60 years old.
After he was already been around for a while. The first telephone call was made in 1876. The first incandescent light bulb was invented in 1878. The Eiffel Tower, the world's tallest iron structure, was completed in 1887. 1903, the first power-driven flight took to the skies, flown by the Wright brothers. Neil Armstrong, a buzz. Like, it just goes on and on and on. Think of all the things that have happened since
that
this tortoise has been around.
It's crazy to think
really
that anything is alive that long.
I know. I mean, humans alone, like, one lifetime, you can see so much, but this guy's got more than double what an average human can have.
But he's pretty probably cool. Just been on that island.
Yeah. Well, that's the key.
That's stay it right there.
Stay put. Jeez.
This says that he's the most famous resident to that island since Napoleon was exiled to it in 1815 after losing the Battle of Waterloo, which was just 20 years before Mr. Jonathan was born. So Napoleon was his contemporary.
So was that's Napoleon awesome. On the island at the same time as Jonathan?
I don't know.
I wonder when Napoleon died. And if he died there. I'd like to think that they knew each other.
He used to ride him around. No. Napoleon died in 1823 or 21. So just before, there were ships passing in the night.
Okay.
They were tortoises passing on the field.
Just very slowly.
Very, very slowly.
Did I ever send you the, for an animal hero, the, I think it's a seal in New Zealand that like the whole town knows.
I love him.
No, but that's adorable.
I've seen it. Yeah.
It's a whole thing. Yeah. Isn't he great?
What's his name? Just
Frank or something.
Yeah. The whole town knows him.
The whole, and they all say hi to him every morning.
And he's in the way a lot.
He's always in the way.
I'll make a note to talk about him next week.
Okay. And he's like protected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to fuck with Frank.
No.
Or whatever his name is.
Well, I think we did it. We entertained the masses.
Can't believe we did it.
I know.
Holy Sarah, moly.
What do you think?
Thanks for listening to another episode of Disney Dependent. See you real soon.
No, thank you again for listening and being patient through the transition here. We love you guys, and we're going to try to keep doing this for a long time. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Disney Dependent.
And you can send us an email at DisneyDependent@gmail.com.
This podcast is produced by Producer Ash.
The logo is by Ryan Hatch, and you can find him at WR Hatch on Instagram. The music is by Ryan Knowles, and you can find him at Ryan Allen Knowles on Instagram.
This show is mixed and edited by Deanna Chapman. You can find Deanna at Deanna_Chapman. And this has been a Team Dynamite Goat production.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll be back here next week.